Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Think of some of those words in that first stanza. Wondrous love, cruel cross, from the curse to set me free. Reading from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What shall we then say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness, without work, saying, blessed are they, whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let's give thanks for this, the wonderful way of God's salvation in Christ and by grace. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for what has been given. We come asking in his name that we might rightly be made to understand it. We know that it is the message of Scripture, as we have read, being manifest by the law and the prophets. We give thanks, Father, that we can have these blessed Scriptures, all of them. We pray for thy Spirit to now lead us into all truth of them, especially this great and blessed truth of salvation here, of which we have read, of it in Christ, by faith, all in grace. Help us to see it both as Paul could teach it, and also we give thanks that we have it by the example of Abraham and David. We pray it now for the church to be revived in it itself, and then to make it known to the world, that soon the gospel might be preached to every creature, that repentance and remission of sins might be preached in thy name, Lord Jesus, to every nation, beginning at Jerusalem. We pray also for the temporal needs that are there. We give thanks for so many blessings that we have in this area that others do not have in nature, freedom, peace, all the ways, Father, that we have without suffering. We pray for those in suffering, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those also in broken homes, the children especially in those homes. We pray for the church to be made a salt and a light in regard to the homes as well as all other areas. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. We have gone through some terrible times, almost of treason, and we give thanks, Father, that these things have been somewhat settled, and we pray that may continue. We pray that we might know that we are one nation under thee, and we might recognize our sin, the guilt that we are guilty of so terribly, the terrible ways of murdering the unborn, the broken and the wrong ways of home and marriage, and the immorality that is there. All these different areas, we pray, Father, that we might realize that we are entering, as Paul could say, perilous times, and we pray that we may not continue in our foolishness, that Thou would stop us, Thou would revive us, that Thou would awaken us, that Thou would give soon the preaching of the gospel to every creature in our nation and throughout the world, for Christ's sake. Amen. We have considered this third chapter many times. First of all, beginning with the blessing of the Word, the advantage that the Jew had in having the Word. Paul speaks both to Jew and to Gentile in this first chapter, not so much to either one, the second chapter, particularly more so to the Jews, and the third chapter to both. When he asks the question in verse 9, are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have before proved both, Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. We are all alike, no one better than the other. All under sin. But God has the answer, especially in that 21st verse that we have considered last week and would like to consider somewhat again. But now, we might say now at this particular time of the day, but now at this particular place in Scripture, after guilt is so plainly described and stated in summary, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. It is before a guilty world that God gives the gospel. As one song says, not the righteous, not the righteous. Sinners, Jesus called. Christ said the same thing when he was here on earth. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Paul has called us to repentance very much in the middle part of this third chapter, as well as the second chapter, and gave strong warning in the first chapter that if these things were not heeded, we'll be in danger of giving over to a reprobate mind. And I'm afraid we are in very much danger, both in the church and the rest of the nation, of giving over to a reprobate mind. The church, sadly, is not at all the salt and the light it should be in our nation and, for the most part, in other nations as well. It may be there in some of the nations where there's persecution. The church is a light, and because of it, it is being persecuted. We be thankful for our freedom, but at the same time, when Paul said, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is it because our country is so good that we do not have persecution? Or is it because the church is so weak that it's not recognized and in that way not persecuted? We need to examine these things before the Lord and from the Scripture. Today I'd like to think especially of the blessed way of the gospel and the reason why there is a gospel. Paul said, this is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is certainly not the first time we have it in the Scripture. It is there, Moses writing it in the beginning, God telling us by Paul's pen, to Abram was the gospel preached, and certainly David and Isaiah and others knew it and made it known as well. And here we'd like to see a little bit more of what actually is that gospel. A further understanding of what is the righteousness of God. The righteousness which is mentioned here in this 21st verse. But now the righteousness of God is manifest. In verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Then again in verse 25, to declare his righteousness. Christ hath the propitiation for our sins through his blood. And then Paul says to declare his righteousness, the one who shed his blood in our stead. And as we sang it, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me, how on the cruel cross he suffered, how he shed his blood there. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, So over and over, Paul is speaking of that. We might say Paul is doing here what he says at other times. We preach Christ and Him crucified. In another letter he wrote, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul had suffered much to preach the gospel. Almost immediately, they tried to kill him. And in the end, he was in prison for it, not because he was guilty, but because of the hatred of him. And in a way, he almost had to be in prison to be protected from those who wanted to kill him. He suffered in many ways, in shipwreck, hunger, other areas that he describes when he writes to some of the churches. But coming back here to this way, righteousness, God's righteousness and His Son. And as we said, we can read it there in verse 21, in verse 22, in verse 25, and once again in verse 26. To declare at this time His righteousness, God's righteousness in His Son, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Justifier. Paul is speaking here much of justification as well as righteousness. There has to be a righteousness to be justified. In some ways, justified is used as if someone is proved righteous. They're justified. They had witnesses. But here, it is not us who are justified by what we have done. Not at all. We are proved guilty. And then, justification has to come from another. Justification has to come by God giving His Son, loving the world of sinners, putting Him between us and Himself. Because of that righteousness that God gave in giving His Son, and that righteousness by His Son becoming the propitiation through faith in His blood, can be our righteousness, His death, His shedding of blood. And because of that, though, as we read in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he can follow with these wonderful words in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, another word. We have redemption. We have propitiation. We have righteousness. I can remember a woman who began so earnestly to seek the Lord shortly before she died. And thinking of these words, redemption, propitiation, she says, what do those big words mean? What do they mean? What do they mean to you? Redemption, bought back by God, giving His Son, bought back by Christ, paying the price, being redeemed. And that's why we can have the song, I will sing of my Redeemer. Yes, He is the Redeemer. He has paid the price for redemption. And as Paul says here, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We must see that. If you don't see that, you have no redemption. None whatsoever. It's in Him and Him alone. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's why Peter could say, there is none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. Only in the way of the gospel do we have one that died for us. Others teach what we must do. And no matter what we do, we will come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one in ourselves. And then there's a righteous Savior who became a curse for us. One that, as Paul could say to the Corinthians, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, what a wonderful salvation. For the whole world, all of mankind, and one Savior. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, there are some big words here. Righteousness, redemption, propitiation, remission of sins. But what a wonderful description of something that you and I need. Do you have it? Have you stood guilty before God, knowing only guilt for a time? And then, but now, in that guilty state, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, without our even love to God. Some would say, well, I began to love God, then I was saved. No, no. You may say that, but it's not true. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. He looks at you and he says, your love isn't sufficient. Your love isn't right. Your love is toward yourself. You think you love God. You think you love your neighbor. But nobody does the way we should. We all come short of the glory of God. And we must see that latter part. It's not just sin between us and others. It is coming short of the glory of God. And Christ did not do that. Christ could say just before he died that he had glorified the Father in all that he did in his earthly life here. And now he was rather ready to further glorify God going to the cross, going to fulfill what God had planned in so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's what we'll do without him, you and I and others. But we will not perish if we have him, if he truly is our Redeemer, if he has paid the price for us and we know the need of it. Abraham knew that. Paul will use him as an example. I'd like to go ahead for a moment, probably come back to some of these other statements in the last part of this third chapter later, if we have time, or next week. But just think of Abraham. I think most people think Abraham was a good man. We could probably say Abraham was a better man than most. Abraham was even called a friend of God. But how did Abraham know himself? How did he believe in God? We read verse 3 of that fourth chapter. For what saith the Scripture? Moses wrote how Abraham believed in God. We can read that in the book of Genesis. Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Some would probably stop there and say, well, Abram had a right faith in God, trusted in God for his life and for different things, and counted for righteousness. But what was that faith really? Where did it come from to God? Verse 5 of chapter 4. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We could really say there's only one kind of faith that justifies, that comes from one who knows they are a sinner, that comes from such a one to the Redeemer. To God who gave the Redeemer. To God knowing in faith that he can justify myself, an ungodly one. We are not like God. Even though God has to warn us. And as I've repeated different times from the words of Psalm 50 where God says, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. It's very easy for us to think that. I love God. We love God. We are a good church. We are this. That's what most of the Jews thought. Paul said they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. If you are not seeing this as Paul wrote it, very plainly, this sin, that sin, the next sin, and finally summing it up, no fear of God before their eyes, the way of peace they have not known. All of us. Yes, we might do like they did in the time of Jeremiah. They cried, peace, peace, one to another, and the people loved to have it so. People like to say, even to each other, oh, you're a good person. Yes, in some ways that may be true. We might do some good things in the eyes of men. And if we are truly God's children through Christ, we can do good things from the way of the Lord. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's only after we learn with Paul that we are the chief of sinners. Then and then only are we really weak. Paul says, when I am weak, no strength in me, then I look for strength in Christ. Look for him who had to die for me. Look to him who rose again and can create us, making us new creatures in himself. Paul says to the Ephesians, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's really not the subject here, but I want to mention it, that only then is there a righteousness that begins in us after what we read here, not before. And that righteousness is not a cause for our justification. Not at all. None righteous, no, not one. The whole world become guilty before God. The church part as well as the rest of the world. Sometimes the church even worse. What is one of the worst sins? What is described as smoke in the eyes of the Almighty? Pride. Thinking we're better than others. And Paul has already answered that. I've read it. Are we better than they? In no wise. Are we better in the church? And one of the very sad things in the church is that we learn enough from God that we think we begin to do better and we rise in pride. What a dangerous place. Coming short still of the glory of God. There is no reason for pride, and if we learn rightly, the Scripture will humble us. It will do as Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, and there's reason to mourn. I know in my life there is, and I'm sure there is in yours as well. Together, how we should be mourning over sin and mourning more after Christ. We need such a revival. Revival in humbleness. Revival in love. Revival in faith to God who justifies the ungodly.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.